Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman. This is Wednesday, September the 9th, 2020. Walker Wildman's in studio with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show again today.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. We're here.
A lot of news to cover. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at the bottom of the hour. And what are we going to talk to Abe about, Walker?
Yeah, we're going to get Abe to just break down what's called critical race theory. We've seen this discussed over the last few years on college campuses, even some churches teaching this. So we're just going to get Abe to explain that to us, what it is, and then what's wrong with it from a biblical perspective. So that's what we'll talk with Abe about in about 30 minutes.
Now, what did the president do on this issue the other day that got some attention?
Well, he basically eliminated funding for agencies that do critical race theory in the federal government. And then he's also going after universities, public universities that receive federal dollars that are also teaching critical race theory.
Okay. So we're going to find out what it is that the president is opposing at the bottom of the hour. This is also related somewhat to that, is it called 1619, Fred?
Yes.
Project?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's being sent to elementary schools in some of the states already. And basically, what it says, it's a rewriting of American history.
Right.
And that they say the country began in 1619 with slavery, and the country is still in the throes of a slavery mentality.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, okay. 1619 is when the U.S. began, and it was a fight to keep slavery. That's what the end of War for Independence was for.
Yeah.
That's even though Britain already had slavery,
mm-hmm.
and we were British colonies.
Yeah.
But we were fighting.
You're making too much sense.
We were fighting the mother country. This is what the 1619 Project teaches, and it's getting lauded by the left.
Oh, Oprah Winfrey?
Yeah.
Totally behind it.
Okay. All right, there's no need for blood pressure to rise.
Not before Abe gets on the show.
It's not even 3 minutes into the show here. I think huh? All right, Fred, go ahead.
Well, I guess this lead story, one could almost say it was inevitable. We're all familiar now with Democrat cities, protests, looting, businesses being forced to shut down, shootings, killings in the street. These cities run by Democrat mayors basically telling the police officers, okay, go to the scene, but don't do too much to irritate people. And if someone dies, then you better be careful because it's going to be your fault. You're going to be found guilty as a police officer even before there's any trial, even before there's an investigation. So I guess it wasn't surprising yesterday when the entire leadership team of the Rochester, New York Police Department announced they were quitting. And that includes Police Chief LaRon Singletary, who is an African-American man. Now, what this is in connection with, basically, is the death of Daniel Prude. He is the one, you've probably seen the image out there. He was in the street. He didn't have any clothes on. Police called to the scene. They put a spit bag over his head, which is the routine to do in a case of someone suspected, obviously, of mental problems. And that protects the police officers if he starts spitting on them, watering from his mouth, whatever the case may be. He suffocates in the case of this apprehension, and he is blamed right away. Several police officers are suspended a day later. State Attorney General Letitia James said over the weekend she would form a grand jury, conduct an extensive investigation into Prude's death. But yesterday, Singletary and three or four others leaders in the police department all stepped down. Within hours of that happening, we also got word that the police chief in Dallas has also resigned. That's Chief U. Renee Hall, also an African-American woman. She has been severely criticized for the way she handled some of the original George Floyd protests in that city. And, of course, we're also aware of the now former police chief in Seattle, Carmen Best. She stepped down after the city council there announced they were going to defund the police department by several million dollars. Again, it was a case of the mayor not backing the police department. Remember when the CHOP zone was in play and the police were only allowed to move in after a young African-American man was killed inside the CHOP zone? She was criticized. The city council voted to diminish her salary and, as I say, to defund the police department, which will likely result in dozens of police officer positions not being filled. So there you have it. By the way, Carmen Best, also an African-American woman. So there you have it. Police, and we've also heard reports, too. There are many police officers, beat officers, that have already stepped down in various Democrat-controlled jurisdictions, basically over the same reasons. No support from the local politicians, and they're saying, we're out of here.
Walker.
Yeah, this is not the problem. I mean, rather, not the solution to the supposed or alleged problem that many people and the protesters and the rioters are claiming exist with the system. In reality, we don't have a systemic problem. When they say systemic racism or the system is rigged against minorities, blah, 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 we really have a very fair system. That's how our founders intended it to be, and it works for the most part as long as you have good people running the system and stuff. You have a very fair judicial system in America. The problem we have is crime and people disobeying lawful orders, which is what you had here in Rochester back in March when this happened. You had a fella who, last name of Prude, as Fred mentioned, who was in town at his brother's house, in town for we don't know why, other than visiting his brother. And this guy, Prude, gets doped up on PCP, which is a basically something you inhale, I believe, some kind of drug, makes you hallucinate and do other kind of crazy things. So he's naked in the street in the winter, in the snow.
And the police are called.
Police are called by the brother, who is supposed to be taking care of him. And so the police show up to a situation that they didn't initiate, and they are there to apprehend this naked man who's doped up on PCP. And the man is running wild, so they handcuff him. After they handcuff him, he's spitting saliva and loogies in their face. This is at the beginning of COVID, by the way, in March. So the officers follow protocol, and they put a net. The media has been calling this a hood. It's not a hood. It's a net.
It's mesh.
Yeah, it's a mesh net, almost like a hair net that you wear when you're cooking.
You can breathe through it.
Yeah, it's breathable. And you put it over their head so they don't spit large saliva in your face,
right,
in the officer's face. Very standard procedure.
That's what the cops are told to do. That's why they carry this mesh hood with him.
Right. And then he proceeded to try to get up and flee, and the officers held him on the ground for 2 minutes for 120 seconds until the ambulance arrived 2 minutes later. And then 5 days later, the suspect passed away in the hospital, allegedly from asphyxiation or suffocation.
Related to the hood? Is that what the claim is?
That's what claim is.
Well, I shouldn't say hood. It's not a hood. It is a hood, but it's made of mesh. It's a
netting.
It's a netting to put over your face to keep the spit from going on the cops while they arrest the guy.
Correct. So that's the backgrounder here. And the problem is that this police chief resigning and some of his commanders resigning, the Seattle officer, police chief resigning, these aren't really going to fix anything. And some of these people are good leaders. I can't speak to all of them, but some of these police chiefs are actually very reputable police chiefs.
Why did the police chief in Rochester resign? Again, he's an African-American man.
Fred, do you have his statement?
He's been on the force 20 or 25 years, and he resigns.
Yeah, I have a statement. The events over the past week are an attempt to destroy my character and integrity. The members of the Rochester Police Department and the greater Rochester community know my reputation and know what I stand for. The mischaracterization and the politicization of the actions that I took after being informed of Mr. Prude's death is not based on facts and is not what I stand for. In addition, I just want to add, the person who's been heading the protests there in Rochester in the last several days, Ayman Abid, head of the group Free the People, ROC, held nightly. It said, here's what she said. It says to the people that people are able to move things and to shape things. She then adds, nightly protests will continue to push other demands, including the resignation of the mayor, defunding and demilitarizing the police, and the development of a state law barring police departments from responding to mental health crises. So the resignation of the leaders, according to this protest leader, is not enough. We want to basically get rid of the mayor. Now we want to defund the police department. That's the real agenda here.
I tell you what this reminds me of. All these videos that we see and attempting to put the police officers in a bad light. And it's happening on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes emotions override, and we're all human. This happens to a lot of people. Emotions override reason. And context is, you don't allow any time for context. And you certainly, and people don't want you to put yourself in the shoes of police officers. There's a lot going on here. And if it doesn't change, it's going to lead to the demise of our police agencies for a couple of reasons. One is, you're going to lose a lot of guys who have experience, who are training the younger guys. Because like this police chief in Rochester, he's going to say, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be vilified over this. My officers did nothing wrong, and now people are showing up at my house, and the mayor won't support me.
Right.
And city council, I'm a pariah. So, I mean, why do they want to stay if they can?
Right.
Get out. That's going to leave you then with what? Younger, less experienced people to take their place. Push that down the chain.
Mm-hmm.
You see where this goes? And then you really are going to have cops making bad decisions because they're trigger happy or they're scared because they've only been on the job a long. But back to, I do want to make this point. I liken this to, You ever maybe been in the grocery store when you have small children and your three-year-old is acting up and pulling cereal boxes off the thing or throwing a temper tantrum or whatever? I know most of you expert parents have never experienced that, but I did once or twice with Walker and Wesley and Riley, my daughter. So anyway, you know, you reach that point where you just say, all right, by golly, somebody's getting torn up right here. Huh? So you proceed to discipline your child. Well, somebody rolls their cart around the corner of the aisle, and you know what they see? In their eyes, you're beating that kid. Mm. That poor child, look at that sweet little child, and that parent has just lost it. But what they didn't see was the 10 minutes leading up to that point.
Yes.
So they're making a judgment on that. This is what's happening with these cop videos.
Yes.
That what you described, Walker, it's what happened. It happens over and over again. First of all, show me a videotape where the police ever look good. Huh?
Yeah.
Show me a videotape where you find it pleasant to watch somebody being handcuffed or forced to the ground or have a gun pointed at them, and you go, man, that's so wonderful. I want to watch that
again.
Let's
do this more.
Let's do this again. Let's watch it again. No. And this isn't cop shows, by the way. This is real life. So a lot of times these video cameras are timed, and these videos are timed just right to make the cops look as bad as you possibly can when you didn't see what led up to this effect. And almost all these incidents, as few as they are for a country of 330 million people, I might add.
Right.
And you, few as they are, all these incidents are caused by the suspect not complying with the police. Or they're drugged up through their brain.
Yes.
The fellow, the George Floyd?
Yeah,
McNeil. I am not excusing the guy kneeling on his neck for 8 minutes
sure.
or whatever that was. That was a terrible thing to do, and he's paying the consequences for it.
Yeah.
But the guy was sky high with, what is that called?
He had multiple narcotics in his system.
Okay, he's doped up. And the reason he said, George Floyd said, I know I'm digressing a little bit. He said while he's standing up, the video says he's standing up and he says, I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he can't breathe, he's high.
Yeah, he had both fentanyl and methamphetamine,
yeah.
Two separate narcotics in the system at the same time.
So these police officers on a daily basis, especially in these big cities, are dealing with these dope heads who are strong. And a lot of them are on, if they're on meth, they think they're Superman.
And they are sometimes.
And yeah. I'm just saying, and you want to take a 15-second video clip of the cops saying something to him or putting him on the ground or kneeling on him, and then you want to say, see, there's police brutality all over America all the time.
Right.
And it's just, what's tragic about it is that there's several tragic things related to it, is that the politicians are spineless and don't have the guts to stand up for their police officers and at least say, let's let an investigation take place here, and then we'll determine whether there was any wrongdoing. No, these mayors they're suspending the police officers just based on a video, and no wonder these guys are resigning.
Right.
And leaving. And I'm just going to tell you that's going to ultimately lead to the deterioration of policing for the reasons I mentioned a few minutes ago.
And the other element in this, let's not forget, these Democrat leaders know the media is not going to criticize them for their decision and that the media is anti-police.
Yeah, yeah. The media, yeah. And it leaves the police, they're hung out to dry.
They are.
And
yeah, these Democrats are fostering an environment, and they're really creating an environment of complete lawlessness. I mean, you look in Portland, and as Dad mentioned, without the Portland Police Department, which is already has their hands tied behind their back, without the Portland Police Department, there would be no barrier at all between the anarchist, the domestic terrorist, and then innocent civilians. And what they're trying to do here is take down that last line of defense, which is law enforcement. And you do that, then you open the gates to anarchy.
Okay, and who's in favor of that? By the way, did you see where Al Sharpton came out and said defunding the police is a bad idea?
Yeah,
That's Al Sharpton.
Well, the doorbell finally rang there. Huh? You know, here's what's happening. The American people are getting scared about what they're seeing on a nightly basis.
I don't blame them.
The insanity, we're now, what, up to 101, 102 nights in Portland, Oregon, of riots? And well, people are scratching, is this America?
Yeah.
Yeah, also the big cities, I don't know what you define a big city exactly. I'd say over a million people, to me, is a big city. It's getting dangerous, yeah. In those cities.
Would you want to go to New York right now? Did you folks see the latest video?
Oh, yeah.
That was on Fox News?
Yeah.
The latest video was, here we have an elderly person again, this guy on a bike.
Middle of the day.
Runs right up to this person, punches him in the face, knocks him down. You got some fire department guys chased this guy down.
I saw that.
This is happening over and over again in broad daylight.
But this is, you know who this is hurting mostly? Is minorities.
Yes.
That's why Al Sharpton says defunding the police is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Because the vast majority of the time, it's the police protecting minorities.
Right. So you have to wonder, if Al Sharpton doesn't think defunding the police is a good idea, By the way, let it be noted that I did agree with Al Sharpton once
in your life,
in his career, and I think the guy's a race baiter, and he's anyway. I don't like Al Sharpton or his message at all, but in this case, he's right so if the inner city slash minority community, African American community, is opposed to defunding the police as a majority or in general, then you have to ask yourself, who's behind this? And who's behind it is the anarchists, the Antifa, some of the Black Lives Matter groups, and they're exploiting the Black Lives Matter sentiment, which we all can agree with, and turn it into a Black Lives Matter political movement, which is Marxist,
yes,
and godless.
Mm-hmm.
They hate America. They hate white people,
mm.
and maybe hate other people. Well, I saw yesterday a Black Lives Matter group going in Pittsburgh into a McDonald's. There's about 10 of them with a bullhorn, and they're going after a black McDonald's crew and manager. This guy, you got to see this video. This is happening in these bigger cities. That's what I'm talking
Busting
about.
Them restaurants and stuff.
Huh? Like a mob of 10 of them go in, Black Lives Matter group, they're identifying themselves,
mm-hmm.
and the employees are black, and the manager's black. And he comes out from behind the counter going, what are you doing in my store raising Cain like this and scaring my customers? You know, they get into a shouting match. I'm just saying what's behind this is not race. What's behind this, because you're going to find that a vast majority of African Americans don't like what's going on either.
That's right.
They may not
That's
be right. Republicans, but they're not lawless, crazy people who want to see the end of Western civilization.
Right.
So I think this is hurting the Democrats, and it's hurting the Biden campaign right now.
Do we have a few minutes before the break?
We got about 2 minutes before the break.
All right. I want to play you a reporter asked Biden if he wants to defund the police, and then we have a reaction from Jesse Waters of The Five. It's cut number 7, Brent.
The ads, I'm sure you've seen them, although a lot of Pennsylvanians are seeing them because there's a lot of ads out there right now. They would say that you want to defund the police, and it seems to be trying to frighten some folks. Can you set the record straight on that?
I not only don't want to defund the police, I'm the one calling for $300 million more for local police, for community policing. I also think we should add social workers and psychologists help police on 911 calls. The only person calling to defund the police is Donald Trump. Look at his budget. He calls for cutting police funding for local, state and local help by $400 million. Once again, he's pathological.
Biden's saying that Donald Trump wants to defund the police. And I see where he gets it. He said it's in the budget. Well, I looked at the budget. And under Barack Obama and Joe Biden, the COPS program, community policing, was funded at about $200 million a year. Under Donald Trump, funded about $300 million a year. So that's just another lie.
Yeah. Another lie from Joe Biden, who, by the way, said, I want to reallocate, which means the same thing as defund.
Oh, yeah. Biden's down. He's gone from talking about left-wing ideas to talking with a forked tongue now. Mm. He knows that crazy left stuff is hurting him with middle America, and he's trying to reel it back in.
Yep.
Which he isn't the first politician that's done that. That's what typically a lot of them do, both Republican and Democrat, when they get closer to an election. All right, we're going to be back with Abraham Hamilton III. Fixing to raise our IQ in this room when we get back.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
The world is about to descend into centuries of darkness. Should Christ tarry and the return of the Lord not come about? soon. And so you and I need to pray. We need to pray.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
You know, folks asked me about our annual tour of Israel. Tim, is it safe to travel to Israel? To which I respond, we'll only be in New York for a few short hours. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Israel is actually one of the safest places to be on earth because they take their security so seriously. So we're going to have a wonderful, safe time in Israel in March as we see the Holy Land. The Bible will come to life. Again, that's March 16th through the 24th. If you want the information to find out whether you want to go with us or not, just go to the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, just call us at 800-FAMILIES and leave us your name and address, and we'll get that right in the mail to you. 800-FAMILIES.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Hundreds of New Jersey residents turned out to protest a decision made by state leaders to remove American flags. Those flags have been posted on overpasses across the state, honoring our military veterans and those who lost their lives in the terrorist attacks of 2001. The New Jersey Turnpike Association had already confiscated an untold number of signs. The flags have been maintained and replaced over the years by groups of veterans and police departments and volunteers. The Turnpike Association says they made the decision to remove the flags because they could not guarantee Old Glory would be properly maintained. Or maybe, just maybe, the American flag has fallen victim to the cancel culture mob. That's the only viable explanation for ending a 19-year tradition of flying the Star Spangled Banner from a taxpayer-funded overpass. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on the radio, or you can download my podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Walker, tell our listeners how they can watch on the internet or follow us on that there internet.
You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube to watch the show. And then you can listen to the show on our website, afr.net. afr.net. You can also catch our podcast there. And then lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone, on your Apple or Android device. Just type in AFR in the App Store and download the app.
And you know that app travels, right?
It does. It goes wherever you go, wherever your phone goes.
If you don't have a AFR station around you and you want to listen to AFR, just download the app on your phone or your iPad or similar device. It takes you about 60 seconds to do that. And then you can listen anywhere. American Family Radio. A lot of people taking advantage of that. All right. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Again, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. All right. Abraham Hamilton III joins us on Wednesdays this time. Good morning, Brother Abe.
Good morning.
Abe is a public policy analyst for us here at AFA. He's also the host of the Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. He's a constitutional attorney by training. All right, so a couple days ago, the president announced that he was going to, I guess, as much as he can control it, not fund school. Agencies. The federal agencies that teach what's called critical race theory. Have I got the facts of that right?
I thought he was ordering the agencies to remove any training materials
that had
that
this in it.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So not exactly defunding. What he's saying is, don't use this stuff, this material, and if you do, we're not going to pay for it. Federal government,
mm-hmm. Which is within his authority because the agencies are extensions of the executive branch. So that is under his jurisdiction, so to speak, in the separation of powers.
Okay. So what is it that the president is opposed to?
The president
is just one of those, how long do you have?
Yes, it literally is. How long do you have?
Okay.
But to put it more simply, the president is opposed to federal agencies using training materials that have been created to destroy Western civilization. and that is not a hyperbolic statement. So critical race theory is the offspring of critical theory. Critical theory is the offspring of Marxism. So let me do a short summary if I can. So Karl Marx espoused his theory of Marxism, which, by the way, Marx is not the author of the idea of socialistic thought. His addition to the socialism tradition was to add in the notion of violence as being a mechanism of establishing socialism. So Marxists thought World War I was going to be their moment to have what Karl Marx described as the proletariat, the workers, the working class, to overthrow the bourgeoisie. But much to their chagrin, what happened following World War I is that the West was opened up to many Europeans. That's the thing that's so remarkable to me, that Marxist thought and even critical theory was developed in an exclusively European context. Following World War I, Europeans were exposed to an open West when, in spite of Karl Marx's espousals that the poor were irrepressibly oppressed by the rich, there was no way they could ever have a change in their lot. After World War I, Europeans found that, wait a minute, if I can get to America in one generation, I can change my fortunes. So Marxists globally were demoralized following World War I, which had people like Georgi Lukacs to develop a notion called critical theory, which was completely articulated for express purposes of persuading poor people that, no, you are oppressed. You just don't know it. You are oppressed. And so what critical theory sought to do is to go through the various bastions of Western civilization to critically theorize, to persuade the poor that, see, you're oppressed, and this is how. Fast forward, as critical theory was exported to the United States of America through the Frankfurt School, and then you have Antonio Gramsci in the Italian prison developing his notebooks where he espoused a long march through the institutions to accomplish the same thing. In the 70s, a law professor by the name of Kimberly Crenshaw applied the concept of critical theory using the American backdrop of the history of slavery and the tension of our country over skin color, and applied the notions of critical theory to the concepts of skin color in America for the sole purposes of, again, of persuading people that they were irrepressibly oppressed, there was nothing that they could do about it, and the only answer is to overthrow the establishment.
Okay, so you're telling me that's called critical race theory, and that is being, how prevalent is that being taught in America?
Have you ever heard the concept of privilege? Check your privilege. Guess where that comes from? Critical race theory. So all of the conversations that are being engaged in currently, where privilege is being discussed and the concepts of intersectionality, that's an offspring of critical race theory to show that not only are you oppressed, but here are the different points of your oppression.
Excuse me for interrupting you.
Sure.
Because we're short on time. This is so many more questions. I know Fred, I wanted to get a general idea of what it is the president, when he says I'm opposed to critical race theory and we shouldn't be funding it because it's a usurpation of our history. It's an attack on our heritage, basically, is what he's saying. It's not good for America.
Well, when you understand the purpose of the authors of these theories, they have never been created for the purposes of
conciliation. What's their goal? What's
their goal? Is destruction. Their goal is to destroy Western civilization.
Through dividing
and fomenting unrest to invite those who believe their propaganda to overthrow established civilization. The whole purpose of critical theory and critical race theory is not to heal, it's to destroy. That's the purpose. So when the president says
division.
But it creates division not for the purpose of division alone, but creates division to destroy Western civilization, the pinnacle of which is American society.
This ties into the 1619 Project. Mm-hmm. So the 1619 Project, I think, is headed up by the New York Times.
Yep.
But it basically gets at our country. They're saying America began in 1619 by slaves, through the slave system.
Not only by slaves, that the bedrock of America is slavery,
right?
Not freedom.
Yeah. Right, and thus the entire system that we have today is corrupt because of its origins.
Yes.
Thus we have to overturn it.
That's right. It must be overthrown.
There are some liberals who are attacking the 1619.
That's true.
Because it's historically just unprovable.
But it's not stopping the steamroller of it. Their liberals are saying this is just a flat-out lie and propaganda, but things are still happening. And the notion of critical theorists and critical race theorists is that America is irredeemably deplorable. It must be done away with.
So, folks, just a second, Fred. So, folks, if you hear the expression critical race theory, all right, this 1619 Project, your antenna needs to go up, because this is being taught in schools and universities, college campuses especially. I don't know how prevalent it is, but it's very prevalent.
It's prevalent.
Okay.
The entire theory was cultivated in academia for years.
Okay.
This has been percolating in the United States.
It's moving over into government and business and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Fred.
Well, I was going to say, people may be wondering when they're looking at these protests on a daily basis in these cities. There are a lot of white kids, young white kids, that are out in the street protesting. They have been brainwashed in the university system. Because I think part of critical race theory is if you're white, you're already racist. You're born that way. And so these kids are out there trying to mitigate some kind of guilt that they've been taught they need to have. And so that's why you see a lot of them in the street. But Abe, Resolution 9, Southern Baptist Convention, back, 18 months ago, whatever it was, was adopted at the Southern Baptist Convention.
What was?
Critical race theory, Resolution 9, to be used as a tool.
Yeah, it's sad when the president of the United States is exercising more discernment than Christian denominations. Resolution 9, as you said, Fred, said that critical theory, critical race theory, and intersectionality can be used as analytical tools to enable the Christian to more appropriately understand and apply Scripture.
Okay, I'm just going to...
foolishness.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let it fly here, okay?
You sure you want to do that, Tim?
Well...
That's why people listen.
All right. Our country and no country in history is perfect across the board on every issue. That's why... You know why? Because we're humans and we're sinners. We understand this as Christians, and we fail, and we have things we have to correct or things we have to learn from. But as my dad used to say, America is the free enterprise system, he's told me, and undergirded by the Christian principles, is the greatest economic and civil machine the world has ever known.
That is an irrecontrovertible fact that more people have been lifted out of poverty through capitalism than anything else in the world, including Marxist socialism and communism.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
My dad said undergirded by Christian principles.
Yes.
All right. Otherwise, you just got raw greed.
Yes.
And you'll just take advantage of people, and ultimately that has its own bad ending.
Right.
Now, what these people that you just described who are subscribing to the critical race theory, the 1619 Project, America's systemically racist, is that the expression being used today? These things that just kill the spirit when you hear them, because you go, there's no hope, and you're saying we're irredeemably bad, and America's a terrible place, and I'm going, well, show me somewhere in the world we can model after then. So what these folks are after is, this is a satanic, I'm going to just put it in, I know a lot of people that may be listening that aren't Christians, and I'm starting to spook them out now because I'm talking about Satan. Well, if you don't believe in Satan, then you don't believe what the Bible says, because Jesus believed in Satan.
Right.
So I'm just telling you, this is a satanic effort by people who don't even know they're being used in many, many ways to tear down Western civilization, which is built on Christianity, to a large extent. Now, Western Europe's basically secular, which is where we're headed in the U.S. if we don't repent and change our ways. But also, in particular, to bring down the United States of America, to cause us to implode, to go socialist?
Yeah.
To go Marxist, go godless,
yeah,
and all that comes with that.
Yes, yes.
That's got to be a tiny, tiny percentage of people who even understand this.
Yes.
Who are involved in that movement.
Yes, but that is touchstone of Marxism and Leninism. They understand that only a small percentage will understand their true objectives.
The elites.
The others that will go along with their objectives without fully understanding it, they describe as useful idiots.
Yeah, they're tools.
They are agents of the revolution they seek to accomplish.
That's why the people in the streets now that are burning down our cities, they're buying into this fully, because they're running around going, they call this systemic racism, our system is corrupt. They will say, we have to tear it down. We have to literally tear down everything that built America, both the good and the bad, and then we have to replace it with their version of America.
And I know, Fred, you're not a potty plant. We'll let you talk in just a minute here. You feel free to join in. But you know what this is? This is not so much a racial. Yes, it's playing out in some ways as a racial divide in America. This is a communism / Marxism versus Judeo-Christianity war, more than it is. There is just, people want to exploit the racial divisions in our country to advance.
Yeah, that is not an extrapolation. Manning Johnson, a former communist, said the exact same thing. See, what critical theory does, it seeks to use all types of vulnerabilities for the same goal. A perfect example: if the BLM organization cared about the lives of black people, why are they silent in the most frequent episodes where black people are killed, if they're concerned about black people dying?
Why isn't that at least a part of their
why message? Isn't it a central part of their message if their organization is about the preservation of black lives?
Okay, then you have to say, abortion. Why is that?
Because their agenda is using the tension around skin color in our country. The organization is using the tension around skin color in our country for an agenda that has nothing to do with skin color.
They don't care about unity.
What does skin color have to do with disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family when it is demonstrably provable that one of the most potent factors in the outcomes of the lives of all people, including black people, are having intact families? Why would you want to destroy the family if you care about people's lives?
Okay, and this is what we're saying. If you go to the Black Lives Matters website, they say they want to get rid of the nuclear family, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that's just what you've just said. So you're saying, what does promoting racial equality have to do with tearing down the family, right?
Yes.
Okay, we can talk about racial equality as an issue. That's fine.
And it is an issue.
And it is an issue. We can discuss that, but that's not where the BLM movement is going. And what we hope to communicate to people is while you may sympathize with some of the ideas of the Black Lives Matter sentiment, you know, you need to understand where this movement, this political movement, is going and what they want to do. Right. That's why I don't even think, I'm frustrated at some of these athletes that I see taking a knee, and I hope this doesn't move over into college. And I'm making a point here with the, I hope this doesn't move over into college where it gets political, that college athletics, like it is with the pros. But I don't think the average athlete who takes a knee understands what we're talking about here today.
No.
During the national anthem. I'm mad at them because I don't want them disrespecting our country and the people who've died to give us our freedoms. And I think it is disrespectful. That's why they do it during the national anthem.
Right.
Okay. But I don't think that the average person who does that even understands where ultimately this Black Lives Matter movement and the Antifa and the critical race theory and all these people want to take our country. Do you think the average?
No, they bought into the lie. As Abe said, they're useful idiots for the agenda that they're trying to do here.
But guys, sure. Does that include the NFL? I mean, did you see the announcement from the NFL yesterday?
Well, how you know that they're being useful idiots is when you try to ask them questions about what they're trying to accomplish, they don't know the answer.
No, that's
literally
that's,
at the press conferences, they can't articulate how them skipping a game. I'm talking about the NBA now. How them skipping a game 2 weeks ago made it to where minorities aren't beaten up by police officers. Because those two things, skipping a game and then ending police brutality, have no connection at all. They have absolute no connection.
No, but they feel like they're making a message against something that's way overblown, by the way. The statistics don't support what they're opposing.
Yeah, but if you want to, let's say hypothetically, there are certain cases of police using excessive force, which I'm sure there are.
Well, there's 330 speaking. Million people in America.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's an epidemic. I'm saying let's just buy into the talking point or the fact that there is rare examples of police using excessive force. Well, then you get into, okay, do we need better training? Do we need to, maybe let's cut down on the police and suspect interaction. So let's stop, maybe let's obey police officers' lawful orders. Let's do these educational things. Maybe let's increase training for police forces. But no, they instead, we're going to skip an NBA game. And that's going to fix the problem. We're going to kneel during the national anthem. And that's going to make sure, that's going to ensure that there's no more of these incidents.
I think this is part of the division, the dividing the country up, is what Abe talked about earlier. This is part of it, and you're seeing it play out in professional sports. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. The NFL did say that they got in the end zones, we're going to have messages in both end zones. Is that right? In all the games?
Yeah, that was the announcement yesterday.
One end zone's going to say end racism. What's the other end zone going to say?
Takes all of us.
Takes all of us.
And then end racism on the other. And then the players are going to be allowed to put decals on their helmets, you know, Black Lives Matter, all of those sorts. Multi-million dollar players.
Support the blue.
And it's not going to help squat.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if these players put together a coalition or an organization that's main goal was to keep fathers in the household?
Yeah. Imagine
can you imagine if they put $1 billion, if Kaepernick put millions of dollars into training fathers to be good dads and stay in the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. I think that, anyway, we'll see what happens with that. I think that's going to hurt the NFL. I was going to say attendance. There's not anybody going to the games.
Yeah,
I think it's
going
to hurt them in terms of who's watching the games. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So, that's 21 minutes of critical race theory. We wanted people to understand what the president was opposing. Let me ask you one other thing while you're here. You haven't worked in law enforcement. Is that what the district attorneys, you've worked in prosecuting criminals?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell me what is going on here when these district attorneys are not enforcing the law. We see this in St. Louis, Chicago, New York. Seattle and Portland. Those are five examples, mm-hmm. and they're saying out loud, what is the role of a district attorney? Do they have? I guess they do have the discretion on who to charge and who not to charge, don't they?
Yeah, you do. The district attorney, for just to make a simple explanation, is the local county county version of the Attorney General William Barr. So each county has a district attorney who the citizens of that county have placed their trust in through the vote to be the chief law enforcement officer.
So they're elected.
They're elected at the county level. They're elected to execute the laws that are passed by the legislature, namely the criminal laws. But when you have a district attorney who refuses to enforce the criminal laws, I mean, think about County State Attorney Kim Fox in the Jussie Smollett case, where the police officers investigated, they brought the lawful criminal charges, but then the district attorney decides, no, we're not going to pursue it. That is what's happening all across the country. Now, the unfortunate reality is that George Soros bankrolled a bunch of district attorneys.
Listen to this, people. George Soros, an international billionaire, cares. Why would he care about funding local district attorney races? And what you're saying is there's a reason for this.
He started this 8 to 10 years ago because he realized the left was losing its stranglehold on the federal judiciary and sought to infiltrate the American body politic with district attorneys who were funded by him, who shared his worldview, who would, in my estimation, would be agents of the chaos. Because if you have something that you're cooking up and you know some people are going to be rioting and vandalizing and brutalizing even people in certain instances, but you want the chaos to continue, well, you get the chief law enforcement officer in these areas to almost agree with the wink and nod that when these things happen, that they will not prosecute them. And that's literally what's happening in Portland, where you have people that the Oregon State police officers, where in Washington State, the police officers have arrested scores of these people, but the district attorneys are letting them out of the jail.
Okay, but the people that are ultimately responsible for what's happening more and more in Portland, for example, and other places, are the citizens.
That's a fact.
Of Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
And I know the mayor's in disfavor now, 63%, surprise, surprise. But the citizens voted the DA in. The DA is saying, I'm not prosecuting anybody.
Right.
Basically. The mayor's up there moving around the town to try to find a safe space for himself. Got to get out of his condo and move over here, move over there. So the police are caught in the middle because the politicians, whom I just described, are not going to support the police if the police are too forceful with the rioters and the protesters, right?
Yep.
So, am I got that right?
Yeah, well, and they're not even, it's not just that they're not favoring the police, they're not even upholding the law. Mm-hmm. So there's different laws in place.
But the citizens of Portland don't give a rip.
Basically, because they elected these
so
people.
So they're destroying their own town, and they're voting for it.
Yeah, and so you literally have the police arresting the same people every night. Dozens of people
every night. You know what? I don't feel sorry for them.
They go to the courthouse, they go to the jail and get processed.
Right.
And they get charged by the officers, and then the prosecutors metaphorically throw the charges in the trash. The same criminals are out on the streets the next night.
Ultimately, you're going to have the cops quit.
And that's what's happening in Washington. And the quitting is taking the form of, we're no longer going to participate in arrests in this area. We're reallocating our resources to other areas around the state where the prosecutors are going to pursue the charges.
Well, we are really in a war. When we say we're in a war for our country,
here's the sad part, Tim. We've been in a war for our country, but too many of us are just waking up to realize it now.
That's true. That's true. Maybe it takes these scenes from the street to wake people up. Thank you, Abe. All right, folks. We'll be back in 5. Thank you, Fred.
All righty.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.